S4 is a facility south of Groom Lake. It has its own dry lake bed down there. And you, Bob, you say, as I recall, the story was that there was a facility built into the mountainside, designed to sort of make it look like it was part of the mountain, but inside was a fairly amazing facility.
Yeah, it was a research facility that had hangar doors along the side of the mountain, and after going through all kinds of security checks and, like you said, of my background and whatnot, eventually they drove me down to S4, and initially they just had me reading briefings that contained just an amazing amount of information, but some pretty bizarre information.
Aliens, flying saucers.
Yeah, you got it. And I really didn't know what to make of it, and they were trying to get me caught up to speed as quickly as possible involving this project. And unbeknownst to me, the project was to back engineer the propulsion and power system of an alien spacecraft. And they eventually did show me the craft a short time. Oh, I think I'd only been there two or three times. And the instead of coming through the main entrance of the place, they brought me in through the hangar, and I saw one of the craft. And
eventually, you saw nine of them.
Right. Nine of them when all the hangar doors were open, the internal bay doors. And it was my job to do, at least be part of the team. Each aspect of the craft had its own group of people working on it, and they really compartmentalize everything that way, so nobody has the entire breadth of knowledge about the entire project. And like I said, basically I just was involved in the propulsion and power system of the craft. I worked with one other fellow, and I was only there for a short time. I didn't work there for years or anything along those lines. But let's see, boy, a life story is so hard for me to do. One thing leads to another. I wind up telling Gene and a few other friends because I work at odd hours of the morning and evening. And I wind up telling John Lear, Gene Huff, finally told my wife and another friend, Jim Taliani, what was going on.
And you went out into the desert and showed them.
Yeah, since I had the flight or test flight times of the craft, I knew what time and where to go in the desert to look. So we finally did sneak out there one night and got to show these guys what I was working on, and went home. And as time went on, we managed to get caught doing that.
By the way, that's using sneak in the absolute loosest sense of the term. We went out there in an RV and sat out in the desert. Remember, this was 1989. Since then, George, after you did UFOs, the best evidence in 1990, of course, the little alien out at Rachel out there has become an international tourist stop. And there, there were tour buses going out there, but back then there was literally no one in the desert in the middle of the week. They tested on Wednesdays, and we went out there, and you could have heard a pin drop in the desert. I mean, it was a starry sky, nothing else going except, of course, until that little light popped up over the mountain and started jumping around in the sky. And so now people go out there and look and see all kinds of things, and they find the story hard to believe, but the difference between the desert outside Area 51 in late 88 and early 89 and in the early 1990s after you'd produced UFOs, the best evidence, was night and day.
Back in those days, people forget that, there are all kinds of people who have bad things to say about you, Bob. And I can tell, how much you like talking about this story.
Well, it's really, I just cannot believe the amount of people that come up with the strangest stories that involve me. It just amazes me. Some of these stories are just so ridiculous. And I don't know why people pretend or feel obligated to tell their friends or other people that they know me when they don't. I mean, I think I've told you the story before. I was driving through Flagstaff from Las Vegas on the way to New Mexico, and I was listening to an AM talk show to keep me awake because it was late at night. and I hear something that sounded similar to the Art Bell show, but it wasn't. It was some conversation going on about UFOs, and I was just kind of popping around on the channel. I heard my name mentioned, and here's a guy that's giving an interview to the radio host, telling him how he just had lunch or dinner with me, something like that, and how I confided him all these new facts and things like that. But, you know, this kind of stuff goes on all the time about the most ridiculous stories. And, look, you get most of the emails. Fortunately, I don't. And, like this guy that just said I worked on the stealth fighter, where do people pull this stuff out of? It's unreal.
George, my favorite part of this story is that people either say Bob Lazar never did anything, they didn't even graduate from high school, till, you know, he did things far beyond what he said he did, and they saw him out there and they can vouch for it because they went all the places that not even Bob Lazar was allowed to go. And, you know, that's the funniest thing. Like the gentleman you had on before we came on here tonight says that, Bob, he said that you had a female supervisor, and I'd like to know when. Eric Davis, was that his name, George?
Dr. Eric Davis, yes.
Yeah, and he said, I don't know when he did this, but he says he asked Bob's supervisor if Bob worked there. Well, how would he know if
worked
she
where?
Was...
What supervisor?
Out at Area 51. He says you had a female supervisor. Well, how did he know she was Bob's supervisor before she checked to see if Bob worked there? You know, if she's got to check on a computer to see when and where he worked, then how did Eric Davis know that she was a supervisor? Not to mention that Bob never, ever had a female supervisor at all, right?
Wait, was this a female supervisor when I was supposedly working on the F-117?
I don't know, but you know, this was the...
No, I think it's at the brothel.
Oh, okay. There
I'm
we
just
go.
Joking with you. That's not the only version of this story. It's, you know, a lot of people, exactly what you're saying, Gene, a lot of people don't buy it at all. Bob was never out there. He doesn't have his degrees. He's not a scientist. His physics doesn't make sense. We don't believe him. And then on the other hand, you got people, yeah, he was out there, but he worked on this or he worked on that, and we've confirmed it. It's hard to reconcile the two stories, no?
Well, Bob always... You know, he prefaces when he starts to describe the heavy element, the propulsion system, everything. He goes, now look, current physics on Earth, we have no idea what gravity is. We don't have these heavy elements. We don't have this and this and this. And he prefaces it with this, gives an explanation, and then all of the other people go, wait a minute. We don't know what gravity is. We don't have these heavy elements on Earth. They repeat the exact same thing he said and act like they're being critical and bringing up something that the rest of us don't know.